Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, dude.
How you doing,
you
man?
You look like a dude today.
You gonna tell
I mean, you always look like a dude.
A good dude or a bad dude?
You look like a 50s dude.
Are you going to tell him what I did?
Yeah, you cut your hair.
I chopped it all off.
Yeah,
my daughter goes, Daddy, you don't look near as bad as I thought you would with short hair. It's like, thanks, baby. I appreciate that so much.
Kids say the darndest things.
That's exactly
what
right.
What did your wife say?
She loved it. She loves me with short hair. Yeah. She thinks that long-haired hippie Andrew, who gets paid to do Shakespeare because he has long hair, they don't even need to see the monologue. They're like, oh, a guy with long hair. Thank goodness you're in it. Let's go.
How long was it?
It wasn't that long. It was shoulder length. Shoulder length. But
well,
yeah.
He's a stunt choreographer as well, you know, for film and television. Yeah. So his hair is key to a lot of
That's
things
right.
that he does.
That's right. But it's funny. I do cut it fairly regularly. I'll get rid of it fairly frequently. But this time was we were skiing. It was all matted up under my sock hat. I was like, I am done with this. I fell asleep and woke up with it all. It's like, I'm done with it.
So, I have to say, as a bald man, I'm jealous of your options.
You know,
yeah.
But you're choosing to be bald, I think we're clear. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's either that or look like Sherman Hemsley. Those are my options. It's my choices.
If I had a good looking head, I'd probably shave the whole thing too. So
NDR
you're lucky
Reese
you're doing this.
I am not my hair.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Now you got to tell everybody, Nita, about your hat monologue. I woke up to someone telling me that I need to check my hair out and know if I should put a hat on. I love following you. Can you give everybody your Instagram real quick?
Yeah, it's Sopranti Girl on Instagram and at Sopranti Girl. And I have a thing that I started called Car Chronicles. It just became a thing. I don't even know how big of a thing it is, but it's a thing. And I just kind of record my thoughts as I'm driving. And so I was not having a good hair day the other day, and I just slapped a hat on, which is what you do. And I was just explaining to people what a hat day is. It's when you don't feel it, when it's have can't you don't you hair. Can't comb it, don't try.
Can't you don't you hair.
Fantastic.
Which is what I was born with, and it's been that way the rest of my life. But I got to say, it's a pleasure to wake up to those because they are fun. They're just 20-second bits, so check her out on Instagram if you get a chance. But, Michael, here it is, January 10th, 2019.
I know, right?
It sounds like the future, and we have a couple of extraordinarily talented guests here today to kick off a great theatrical new year at State of the Arts.
Indeed we do, ladies and gentlemen. In studio today, we are privileged to have with us two brilliant performers who will both be gracing the stage of that nightclub.
What's that called again? That great nightclub?
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
I love
Heard
that
of
place.
It?
I have. Yeah. I've been there a number of times. Loved
you
it
like
every time.
You like the vanilla martinis there?
I do.
Oh, dear.
It's like vanilla Manhattan. They do a little cherry and the best bourbon. Oh, I love it. I love it. Great drink.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Nita Whitaker and Tanakis McLean.
I mean, suddenly I come to life when I hear that.
They all start singing. It's like we got performers ready to
sing. Sorry about that.
Certainly, there's kind of a Pavlovian response that should be disturbing, but I'm not going to think
now,
about it.
Now, you two had never met before today, is that correct?
No, you never know it.
Michael, I listened in our waiting room out there a little bit, and I'm not worried about today being a low-energy show.
Great.
I can guarantee it.
I mean, talk about sister from another mister.
Oh,
we must be related.
Got to be. Yeah. I was like, I know you.
There's a mystery afoot. We can get to the bottom of this.
Well, we will talk more with our guest in just a moment. But Michael, before we do that, we should take a moment and thank our amazing sponsors who are with us again for 2019.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion ships in the fleet of Princess.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to come to this show, this program, this network, latalkradio.com. Channel 2, State of the Art. Go to our page. You'll see the logo for Princess. You click on it. It takes you into the registration process. You can do it as many times as you like. And hopefully you'll be the winner. It is a $5,000 gift.
Oh,
boom. Princess.
Just great.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, I'm actually going to hop onto this promo because I actually have some of the people who run my circles. It's understood that Princess Cruises, they're a caliber above the rest. Mm-hmm. If you're going to book a cruise ship, you want to book Princess because their entertainment's top notch. The performers are top notch. They treat everybody with level of respect, and it's just the way to go. So
true. Yeah. And they employ so many actors and singers. It's amazing how supportive they are of the arts. That's a great point.
Yeah. And I want to throw in that Nelson Cole, who is my musical director,
right.
does
sure.
a lot of the music for all the cruise lines.
Oh, how great.
For Princess Cruise
That's
Lines.
Right.
So when you hear those orchestrations, it's often Nelson's orchestration.
And you know, I introduced Nelson to the Princess people.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
See, Michael, you know everyone.
He does.
He knows
he does.
Everyone.
That's
insane.
Right.
You're the mayor. That's what
saying.
You are.
We were saying if you took a moment out of your busy life of doing everything and just wrote a book, it would be insane. It would just explode from all the stories and the history.
I'd read it.
Yes, absolutely.
We also want to take a minute, of course, and mention Carrie Ann Francis of C.A. Francis Photography.
Yes.
You can check her out. Go to cafrancesphoto.com. That's C-A-F-R-A-N-C-E-S photo.com. And you're going to see some of the best headshots in Los Angeles and around the world. She's truly an amazing artist, and she makes sure that she gets that shot that's going to get you work. So CA Francis Photo, you'll find rates and examples there. And as always, we'd like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Yes, we are. So, you know, let's just briefly, I haven't seen you for so long.
You don't seem that upset about that. People always say that with a lot of relief. I haven't seen you for so long.
Him again.
I miss you. I was gone for 3 weeks, Michael. 3 weeks between work and then the break for the new year. I didn't get to see you or hang out with you at all. How was your year in? Did you have a great time?
I did. Well, I had a very pleasant time. I don't know how great it was in that word. Because, you know, we followed a lot of tragedy before.
We did.
And you were part of that.
I got to tell you, getting out of Malibu, I felt so good. I felt like I could breathe deeper not being in Malibu anymore.
Yeah.
So, and I was gone for 2.5 weeks between Georgia and Kentucky and all over the place. So it was strange to feel that relief of not just being in the heart of that trauma.
And there's still people that haven't been able to get back in, right?
It's true. In fact, we still can't get our mail at our place, and multiple people there, they're homeless. They really are homeless, and we're among the lucky ones. We were gone for 2.5 weeks. We had to get evacuated, but so many people came back to nothing.
Wow.
And you see those people now as they come back to clean up, and their resilient spirit is truly amazing. They're digging in, and they're trying to find a way to go on.
I had a gig up in Santa Barbara during December, and we had to drive up from L.A. through the ruins, really.
See how we're jumped.
Yes, it was really, staggering. Just the damage really hurt your soul.
Yeah, it was hard to see, and it's amazing how quick that happens. So, but you're right, we had a lot of that at the end of the year, a lot of sadness, and hopefully 2019 has a lot of good things.
So I think everything was kind of subdued, at least on a personal basis for me. It was a lovely Christmas. My dogs, unfortunately, got sick, and they're just coming out of the woods on that right now. And both of them, the same thing. And then, $1,000 later at the vet.
Oh, please.
Yes,
I know it well.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed to be with my friends on Christmas and also New Year's. And I guess the highlight for me on New Year's was something that I had seen and been invited to at Disney Studios for the first screening of Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh, right.
So I loved it so much. Yeah. So, did you see it?
I haven't.
You haven't?
I have not.
You
it is. I know. I'm going
to
go. I just
and the girls.
Sounds
girls
like a state of the arts field trip. Time to go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Reporting
ready.
Live
my
from Mary Poppins
back.
Returns.
I've got my lunch.
It is spectacular. There aren't enough letters in that word.
Well, I just recently saw Mark Shaiman at a screening of Aretha Franklin's movie, Amazing Grace, which was.
Oh, wow.
Which is an experience.
I can only imagine
that.
I love her so much. Wow. I love that record so much. And we talked about it because Jennifer had seen it and said, it was, and he was nominated for a Golden Globe. I don't know that, I don't think that he won, but I heard it was just glorious.
And I heard whispers that they're already talking about the next one.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, very How many part in there for a black girl, a tall black girl? I'm just wondering.
It's a
just
franchise. That may be the next incarnation.
You know,
you're right. Let's get that done.
I'm just saying. Putting it out there.
Her best friend.
Right, exactly. I can do an English accent, darling.
Perfect. Nailed it. Nailed it.
Wasn't Emily Blunt just the perfect choice?
Yeah.
And you know what was the coolest thing is that Disney asked Julie Andrews to take a cameo role in the film. And it wasn't that she was offended by that in any sort of way. She said, I can't possibly do that to Emily. It would be a disservice to her as an actress.
Yes, I actually heard that as well. Like the audience would go along for this ride with this new Mary Poppins and be like, oh, that's new Mary Poppins. Oh, and then suddenly, oh, that's the real Mary Poppins. Right. And she didn't want to do that to the film or her performance.
And you know where it would have been placed. It would have been placed where Angela Lansbury was in.
Yeah, that's right.
She had to be her in that spot that they were going to put Julie Andrews in. But so cool, cool, Julie. And we know you listen to this program every week.
Right. But don't you love how Dick Van Dyke was like, yep, I'll do it.
Well, yeah.
I'm in.
Great.
But he also, you know, the first time around, Walt Disney did not cast him. He did not even think of him.
Wow.
And Dick Van Dyke says that he said to Walt, I need to be in this movie. I want to be in this movie. I will pay you to be in this movie.
Wow.
And Walt Disney said, how much will you pay me?
Oh,
wow.
And he said, $400. And he said, you're in.
Wow.
That's how we got it.
Wow. Film history.
Well, I got to say, you know, Dick Van Dyke's a Malibu guy, and from what I understand, his house was not affected by the fires, but I see him around occasionally, and he is always whistling. He is always telling a story. He is the kind of person who just needs to perform. So I'm sure that when this came around, it was such a wonderful thing, such a wonderful opportunity for him to get to relive that just for a little bit, because he talked so eloquently about what it was like to work on that film and with so many great people attached to it.
To Dan Still, the way he
dances.
I mean, it's just in his DNA.
He exudes life.
Yeah.
He really does. He's just so full of it. It bubbles up to the surface. Yeah.
I have a couple friends in his show because he's still going all over the world performing. And
why not?
And he's and what you see is what you get. Like behind the scenes, on stage, that is him. And what a beautiful soul.
Yeah, I think that's.
He
totally
said
true.
In a clip on 2020, they did a whole hour on this movie. He said his favorite thing about it was that he goes into makeup every day, and to have a makeup person make up a 93-year-old man to look like a 93-year-old
man. We just call that a coat of paint.
I love it.
That's great.
I love it.
Love it. That's fantastic.
Anyhow, so thanks for asking. But let's get into this show. We have a lot to talk about with our guests today, right?
Indeed we do.
So our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, and a great friend of State of the Arts, performs on stage as well as the big and small screens, recently adding producer to her list of credits. She produced a short run of the play Dog Sees God and Rent, the musical, along with having co-produced four independent CDs, including her 2014 end-of-year holiday offering, Keep a Little Christmas.
This former Miss Louisiana and Hall of Fame Star Search Grand Champion winner has lent her voice to performances in intimate clubs and arenas and stages as well as television and movies. She is the guest performer at the Freedom Awards honoring Oprah Winfrey, Bill Clinton, and actress Ruby Dee.
She sang duets with Andrea Bocelli during a winter tour and has performed with Celine Dion, Josh Groban, Michael Bublé, Chris Botti, to name just a few.
That's right.
Slackers.
She has also recently added author to her resume, penning Finding My Voice, My Journey Through Grief to Grace.
We are so happy to have her with us here today to talk about her fascinating career, as well as an upcoming annual concert performance that she does, also titled Finding My Voice, this year, on stage, January 27th at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. Please once again welcome the incomparable Nita Whitaker.
My applause to this.
And that's not just Tanaka's clapping over there, too. That's all your fans. My goodness.
It's so funny when you read all that. You go, really?
I did all that. I've been around. I've been doing some work for a while.
Well,
I tell
you. If you stay here, hopefully you get to do a little work. Yeah. What is, who, I think it was, Winkler said, if you stay at the table long enough, the cards come to you.
That's right. That's right.
So you just stay at the table. Yeah,
yeah, that is not the case with you, because you started working when you were just barely out of the cradle, from what I can tell. I mean, honestly, this amount of work, it must have – do you ever stop? Do you ever take a break? Do you just sit back and watch and think about what you've done?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I think as an artist, you're not thinking about what you've done. You're thinking about what you want to still do. I think that's just how we're wired. So I, for me, no, there's no sitting back and saying, I'm always thinking what's the next thing. Because creatively, we have to have that expression in some way. So what we've done is in the past. You can't, like, relive that. So
Very
we
true.
Need to keep creating new avenues, new ways to kind of express all of that stuff that's bubbling up inside of us that needs to get out. And with an artist, our greatest desire is to be witnessed. So we have to find a way to be witnessed. Whether it's, if it's not on stage, we got to be in the mall skipping tootaloo-ing. You're going to find some way.
You saw me skipping at the mall.
I did. And I, you know, for me, writing has become another. I'm working on my second book right now.
Wow. And what's the title of that?
The working title is When You Got Your Hand in the Lion's Mouth. And Other Lessons from My Dad.
Oh, very nice. That's
it's
great.
It's a book that my dad is one of my heroes, and he just has his Southern sassy style of saying things, and I just have listened to him for many years. He's wise, he's kind, he's faithful. He's a great dad. I have
That's
a great dad.
Love
a lot of people
you.
Don't. I know. And I want to share my daddy with you.
Yeah.
And
wonderful.
His name is Green. That's really Green Whitaker.
How wonderful. Yeah. Wow, what a beautiful name too. That's
Cool name. How did he get that name?
His grandfather was named Green.
Yeah.
And his grandfather, he was the youngest of the second youngest of 19. My dad was. No, 20.
19.
You understand?
Oh,
I don't know what the youth is. I'm just saying.
I can't handle two. Look, I wake up worn out every morning.
But this was a farming lifestyle. So the more kids you had, the more kids
That's
you had.
Right.
They were living on the plantation.
That's right.
They were working.
They were working. And so my dad says he remembers sitting on his grandfather's knee and saying, now, little Green, I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to be around to see you grow up, but I'm going to leave you my charm.
Wow.
And that he did. So he's named after his grandfather.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's an amazing
so
story.
So beautiful.
Really great.
Yeah? Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice, nice, nice. Let me ask you something. Miss Louisiana, you were.
The very first one.
Yeah.
You know, they offered me that title initially, and I turned it down. I said no.
I have the crown and scepter if you just need to walk the runway.
I'll dance around with that crown. I'm happy with that. That sounds good to me.
Yes, I was the first woman of color to hold the title of Miss Louisiana in our state ever.
Wow.
And then 19 years later, Faith Jenkins, who's Judge Faith,
wonderful.
She became the second.
Wow.
And
a 19-year gap. Come on, Louisiana.
I was the only,
especially Louisiana,
when I was competing
for
6 years, I was the only girl of color in the pageant.
Is that just because the hierarchy of pageantry has always been kind of old aristocratic?
Well, I think the Miss America pageant has always been pretty much,
that way,
if
yeah.
I can use the term, lily white.
Right.
And that's just what it was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't through a fault of anyone. That's just kind of how it was established.
Yeah.
And it was hard for them. Maybe not hard. It just wasn't in their vision to see a woman of color who hold a title. Because from there you would go to Miss America.
Yeah.
So
Did you go to Miss America?
I did. Yeah. I competed the year after Vanessa Williams.
Oh, okay.
So she actually crowned me.
Wow.
Oh, how fun.
She crowned me.
Wow.
And then a month later, her story broke.
Okay.
And the rest of my year was about that.
Wow.
So, you know, timing is everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Amazing. So by the time I got to Miss America, I was like, well, this ain't happening. Yes, I have it.
Yeah.
But I was there, and I had a great experience. I would do it again. I felt like I really wasn't looked at fairly because we were too similar. I had done some modeling. I had done, you know, I wanted to be an actress and a singer and all the things Vanessa had been, and she still is, and isn't she fabulous?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I adore her. She's a friend of mine.
But this bad timing. It just
the
you
timing.
Know.
The timing. Yeah. But that's okay because the experience was great. There are no accidents in life.
Yeah.
Everything. If I had done that, I wouldn't have come here. I wouldn't have met my boy. I wouldn't have had these babies. You know, life is what it is. Mm-hmm. You just gotta smile about it.
Unless you had some kind of scandal like she did. then maybe that would have like propelled you.
I can go manufacture something. I'm great at Photoshop.
I'm thinking about showing my bra.
I mean,
she's breaking barriers.
Right?
Do it on State of the Arts. I guarantee our ratings will skyrocket, even though it's radio. They'll be like, wait, she did what? I'm going
to
go listen.
That would be tame compared to what's on our TVs.
You know,
these days.
I have a struggle with that, raising these kiddos, because like, you know, I love that I can take them to the beach, and the body image stuff that was so present when I was little isn't mm-hmm. as present anymore
right.
now. So, but then you also go, there is something to be said for a little bit of modesty.
Leave something to the imagination.
Isn't that interesting?
I mean, but the kids these days with all the things in the palm of their hands mm-hmm. that, you know, I mean, yeah, there are parental filters, but there aren't really parental filters.
And they're exposed to it on every corner.
Every
it's
level.
Just all
yeah.
over the place.
So,
yeah, really
I mean,
really
I don't...
Hard.
The childhood that I was fortunate enough to experience mm-hmm. is extinct. It's gone,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
You know, for better or worse. There are things, there's a savviness that the generation this day,
no
doubt. These days have,
no
that,
doubt.
That I still do not have.
That's interesting.
Native.
You
that's
know?
A great term. Where, did
yeah.
you coin that? That's
it's
a great term.
It's a book.
I'm going to steal it.
It's a book.
It's
because
beautiful.
They teach, we are foreigners trying
yeah.
to learn their language.
Yeah.
That's right.
They come here too. They know how to swipe right. What?
Yes.
How do they know that?
If my little baby nephew gets his hand on my iPhone when I'm not looking, then he would have downloaded all kinds of crazy apps
right.
and deleted
right.
emails. And I'm like, I didn't even know my phone could do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, we are foreigners trying to learn their language, but
that's
they were born.
That's a beautiful
term.
Yeah.
But it's a great book called Digital Natives.
Digital Native. Well, it's interesting, too, because in our medium, the radio medium, you see it such a different way because people walk in and all that has to be removed, right? You can't entertain people with images. You have to find content.
Right.
And that's one of the things I've always found about theater and about cabaret is that when you look at a great show, you have no desire to look at your phone.
Mm.
That's when you know it's a great show is because you don't even remember your phone is in your pocket. And I've walked out of recently, as a matter of fact, I've walked out of a show going, I didn't check my messages for like 4 hours after the show because I was still thinking and involved in theater.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons that I love so much about talking about the live and performing arts. It's a different way of engaging people's minds.
I agree.
Well,
I agree.
It has to come to a halt at some point because, man, oh, man, it's just...
And if you're looking constantly at life through the lens of your phone, you miss living the life.
Yeah,
the people
who are, hold on, I've got to, you know, capture my little mm-hmm. baby daughter's graduation through this phone or through this camera, and it's like, well, why don't your eyes,
that's,
you know,
yeah.
you're not
God's camera. That's
yeah.
right. That's
exactly
right. That's exactly
it's snapshotted
right.
in your mind and your brain and your heart.
Yes.
Will you tell me a little bit, Nita,
mm-hmm.
about your most recent album and about kind of how
yeah.
that came about?
Which one? The Christmas one?
The Christmas one that we
oh,
mentioned earlier. Just
yeah.
because that one I was listening to my whole trip as I was preparing for this interview. Just
oh.
because it's a different feel. It's
mm-hmm.
unique. And I heard, tell me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
some influences of somebody who I know is a great friend of yours, Ben Vereen. Is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes, indeed. I don't know that he was an influence for that particular record, but he's been an influence on my life.
Certainly on your voice and your vocal style.
Well,
he gave,
I learned so much just watching the back of his head. I was his background singer. Just the back of his head.
Inspiration can be found anywhere.
Anywhere.
If you're
anywhere.
All the backs of the head in the industry. That's one of the best. I think
I
we can all agree.
I just remember him walking out of the wing, and he could have been exhausted and in a heap in the wing, and
wow.
the light hit him, and he would just bing.
Wow.
And then he would just, with the turn of his wrist, it was magical.
Wow.
Not in how he would just, and then he in the moment, he would change something. So I watched this master work. So I got to sit at the feet of the master
mm-hmm.
early on in my career.
Yeah.
When I decided to do this Christmas record, it was like a burning desire. It was like when I wrote the book. It was, I started the process. I got a literary agent, who was Chaz Bono's book and Betty White's book. I'm thinking, I got a great person. Oh my gosh, she loved my writing. And then it was just the time when it was shifting. She said, "You're not famous enough."
Mm.
And I said, "What?" She said, "I can't get you a publishing deal."
Mm.
I was like, "Wow." She said, "Yeah." She said, "Patrick
not
Swayze's wife
wow.
is doing a book." I said, "What does that have to do with me?"
Right.
What does that have to do with
wow.
me? So she said, "What should I do?" She said, "Write the book." I said, "Okay, I'll write." So I wrote the book. I said, "Okay, now what?" She
yeah.
said, "Well, you might want to consider self-publishing." I was like, "Well, how do I do that?" So I found a publisher. My next door neighbor is a writer, and he gave me some names. Long story short, but back to the record. Just like that book was like, I had to. It just was. Oozing up
mm-hmm.
out of me. I had to write it. It was just coming like that.
Right.
The record was the same feeling.
Wow.
As an artist, I am sometimes so moved that and when I get hyper focused like that, I just do it. I did the record in 5 weeks. I had
wow. okay.
I had a period of time I could get it done, and it was 2015. And I did the record in 5 weeks. I had written a couple of the songs. I had written one song, but I knew the other ones that I wanted to do. And it just came together. Gary Griffin and I have worked together. Gary plays with the Beach Boys. He tours with, what's his name?
Dennis Wilson.
Brian Wilson. Brian, Dennis Wilson. Who's that?
Dennis Wilson is his brother.
Oh, the brother. The cousin.
The lesser known.
Yeah, the lesser known. And we did it. I did some of the work in Jenna Lee Schell's studio. I did some in a studio with this gentleman with that a cappella number. Mm-hmm. His name is Scott Nicoli. He's very talented.
That's great.
And those were the kids from Rent.
Wow.
Those kids were the kids I used. I used six of them, and they're all fantastically young. Two of them were my daughters, and then the other four were just a cast member. It was incredible.
Well, that's
singers.
Cheating to give birth to your cast. Come on,
I
now.
I know. I mean, I kind of have a home advantage.
That's
when it's rehearsal time, it's rehearsal time.
I did.
That's
and I
right.
Wanted, right. And I wanted to create something that would speak to all sides of me, because I think we hear the same Christmas songs and great people sing them the same way, but it's like I wanted to do some sacred and secular music on the same record, because I think Christmas is all about joy and love and laughter,
yeah.
And that's what I wanted the record to be.
So well, you certainly did that.
Let's listen to it a little bit.
Well, we
it?
Do. This is actually this piece is called Just Around the Corner, and can you give us a little intro to that piece?
Now, that's not from the Christmas record.
It's not, correct. Okay. This is a different, the Christmas album, what's the name of the Christmas album?
Keep a Little Christmas.
Yes, I look, there's so many great songs on that, but as we move into the new year, I thought this song was just a really nice fit.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the idea for this song come from, Just Around the Corner?
I had a conversation with a friend of mine who was just about to get out of the business. He was had not been successful in booking, and he just was like, you know what, I think I need to do something else, I'm out. And out of nowhere, he booked this show.
Wow.
He booked like a guest starring on like an episodic show. Mm-hmm. And I said, see, just around the corner, bing.
Wow.
Phrases can catch me. Sometimes
that's right.
You walk, and it's just something will catch your ear, and it's like, oh, that's a song. And then it becomes. So I wrote that song about that, because as artists, we can get discouraged.
Yeah.
And I think that's a human thing to feel discouraged.
Yeah.
But if you just can hang on,
yeah.
I think there's something greater just around the corner.
Beautiful.
This is a beautiful track. It's Just Around the Corner by Nita Whittaker.
There are moments in life when the light is so dim, and life loses real time. You feel pushed to the rim, and your hope has dried up to a mustard seed. Life seems to fail you in giving you what you need. Out in the distance, somehow it starts with a spark of intention. There's a new beating heart, and you feel this spark brings you closer to the light. Just around the corner, a miracle waits for you. Just around the corner, destiny breaks for you. It may be unexpected, cause you're low on self-esteem, but just around the corner, there's a new dream. Survive, dying to live each day, having reached for the truth, feeling strangely betrayed as you pass by each road without even a glance, feeling all the aloneness of your circumstance. Out in the distance, somehow it starts with a spark of intention. There's a new beating heart, and you feel again, and you breathe again. This spark brings you closer to the light. Just around the corner, a miracle waits for you. Just around the corner, destiny breaks for you. Just around the corner, just around the corner, a miracle waits for you.
just love that.
Yeah.
It's so energetic and so hopeful.
Yes. You
know? I think I want to be an artist that can do that. If I have a voice and a platform, let mine be one of inspiration. That's what I would love.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Just listening to that, your voice, there's a lightness, there's a brightness that just comes shining through. And I can hear in the way you sing. And first of all, I feel like I can peer straight into your soul. Mm-hmm. And it's just light and beautiful and kindness. And I get when I listen to that track and when I get the opportunity to talk to you, get to know you in person, that you find it's really important to you to make other people feel better, to make their lives better using your gift and the reason why you're here. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I hope that's what my music can be. That's I have to do things that come from a real place, an authentic place. My mother says you can't sing about things you don't know about.
Yes.
So you sing about stuff that's been in your experience, and then you can sing it from an authentic place. Right. And I have to also say Harriet Schock co-wrote that song with me.
Wow.
And
really?
I met her.
She's a wonderful writer.
She's a wonderful writer. So we co-wrote that.
I just have to say,
are you going to be singing it in
not this new not show. This I've got some new stuff. I've got some new stuff.
Can't put it all in.
Well, thank goodness you're using your powers for good, is what I'm saying.
Well, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Nita Whitaker.
At Sterling's Upstairs.
That's right.
At the Federal on January 27th, 5:30 p.m. Dinner and drinks, 7 p.m. performance. Tickets are available at brownpapertickets.com.
That's right.
Very simple. Go to brownpapertickets.com, put in Nita Whitaker's name. It'll take you right to her page, her sales page, and you can call 24/7 800-838-3006, and you will get the nicest, most courteous live customer
service. That's right.
That still happens? That's a thing.
I've heard of it. It's happening there.
Wow.
That's right.
And they also give their take of the ticket to charity. Mm-hmm. So that's
amazing.
Why I use them.
That's great. Wonderful. They do a great job there. Fantastic. Where can people go to get this album and your other pieces that you've put together as well?
Yeah. Most everything is on iTunes, Amazon.com, and my book is on Amazon.com as well.
And the title of that one more time?
The book, Finding My Voice.
Finding My Voice.
And it's also the name of this new show that we love. And so, Iona Morris is directing the show this year.
She wonderful.
Is phenomenal. We are having such a joyful experience. So I've got some new little twists that we're excited to share.
Well, we obviously want people to get tickets for that and check out your website as well, which is, what's the website?
NitaWhitaker.com. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great resource. I got a lot of that website just in getting ready for this today. Also, your Instagram handle one more time, if you don't mind.
Sopranty Girl, Sopranty. That's country, y'all.
Sopranty
Girl.
That's what we talk down south. That's just the way it is.
That's what Grant of the Beverly Hillbillies would say. She's a Sopranty.
Yes, right.
What a pleasure. So
absolutely.
Much fun.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, has appeared on the stage and screen throughout his storied career. He has hosted television shows like Fox Family's California Summer Countdown and reported and anchored Channel One News.
That's right. He performed in Beauty and the Beast live at the Hollywood Bowl, Game of Thrones live at the LA Forum, multiple shows at the Disneyland Resort, multiple performances at the Academy Awards, and toured North America with over 400 performances of The Lion King over 6 years.
As a singer, he's crossed the globe performing in South Korea, Spain, Germany, Mexico, the Czech Republic, Argentina, Canada, Australia, across the Caribbean, and back. He was also featured in L.A. Opera's Porgy and Bess at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion and in the L.A. Master Chorale, performing at Walt Disney Concert Hall for almost a decade.
That's right. His voice appears on dozens of television and film soundtracks and commercials, including the Lion Guard theme song, which my kids have listened to nonstop, so I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit later on. Glee, The Good Wife, Once Upon a Time, King Kong, Avatar, A Wrinkle in Time, and Smallfoot.
He's here today to talk about his upcoming performance at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on January 20th, preceding Nita's performance.
Mm-hmm. I'm coming.
In the show, Living a Why Not Life.
That's right.
Please welcome Tanakis McLean.
There he is.
So when you lay it out like that, I'm like, who's that guy? Sounds like he's doing something.
Amazing.
He's been working.
Oh my God.
I got to tell you this, Tanakis. You walked in, and the first thing, which I'm sure you get all the time, is not about your bald head or your beautiful hands that we've all talked about. Talking about your name, Tanakis, and I love this story. I asked you, where did it come from? And you hear that all the time.
Every other question.
And what's the truth behind this name?
My mom, I think I asked her again maybe 2 years ago. All right, Mom, what's the story? She made it up. She invented it out of nothing. Well, maybe not completely out of nothing.
Right.
She was stationed in Japan when she was pregnant with me. My mother and father both were in the U.S. Army. They both met, and so I'm a product of the United States
One
military.
One more thing, built great by the U.S. military.
Exactly. And so she was stationed in Japan when she was pregnant with me, and Tanaka is a very common last name. Mm-hmm. It's as common as Smith is here. So
it's spelled with a K usually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the spelling is totally different. Right. But yeah. I mean, but she was, you know, surrounded by the sounds, and so she kind of took that as a threw that into the cooking pot and came up with Tanakis. It doesn't mean anything. That's the second most common.
So we're gonna have a contest for everybody to give you the meaning of your
right.
name. We're gonna put it in the dictionary here, so we have it by the end of State
it.
Of the Arts.
I love it.
I gotta tell you, I love the fact that a military family, usually rigid Bills and George and Bobs, are gonna be coming out of military families very often. Your mother still had the creative spirit.
Oh yeah.
To say, I'm gonna step out of uniform here a minute and do something just totally off the
book. Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah,
I
mean, my mom, she's
story.
Definitely got the heart of an artist.
That's great.
She's really worked hard for me and for my brothers, and she's not had the easiest life. And so,
how many brothers?
I've got two younger brothers.
Are they musical?
Yes. They didn't dive headfirst into the world like I did, but they definitely. In fact, my mom, she just celebrated a milestone birthday, and I drove up there. We put together
She's finally 21?
She's finally 21. She's able to drink legally. Yes, congratulations, Mom. And it would be a Moscato if she had it. We went up there, and as a surprise, the three of us, the McLean brothers, got up and we did an acapella Boys to Men, a song for Mama, and with harmony. And afterwards, I was like, that happened? My brothers were never around when I wanted to do songs when
right.
I was in high school, but all of a sudden now, I guess my mom has to turn 6 years old for them to finally get together. But yeah, it doesn't mean anything. Over the years, people have come out of the woodwork to give their impressions of what my name could mean. It apparently,
which I'm sure you love.
I mean, why not? Tell me more about me.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's talk about my name some more.
I mean, there's a reason why when I go to Starbucks, it's Tony. Because, you know, like, Tanaka, how do you spell that?
Oh.
Just give me my coffee. What does it mean? But Tanaka actually means the middle of the field, which
oh, wow.
in itself isn't that interesting.
Right.
But if you go a little further, it actually means the place where two warriors meet to commence battle.
Whoa.
So if I'm in a bad mood, I'm Tanaka. but then if you're – I have some lovely Yiddish women in my life who broke down. Naches means
wow.
joy, and ta means to bring. So in Yiddish, Tanaches means to bring joy.
Wow.
So if I'm
That's
in a
beautiful.
Good mood – guess where I am.
Wow.
It all depends on what you give me. That's the Tanakis you're going to get.
That's amazing. That's great. A great story. And also yeah. easy to Google him. His name is spelled Tonoccus. Tanakis McLean. That's McLean with two C's. Check him out right now because you're going to see some great stuff on him online. I enjoyed learning so much about you. Can you tell me where the idea for this solo show came
yeah.
from?
Yeah, actually, Michael, it's kind of funny because when I first pitched myself to you, it was a completely yes. different show, a totally solid, lovely show about the history of Broadway from my perspective. And I was explaining it to some friends, and they were like, that's a great show that anyone can do.
Mm-hmm.
We want a show that only you can do. We want a piece of you on that stage. It's why is it your show? And I was like, oh man, that's gonna be harder. I have to actually think and like go inward and, you know, really ask myself serious questions. But I rolled up my sleeves and I did it, and I came up with Living a Why Not Life, because that's really the reason why I'm sitting in this room right now.
Mm-hmm.
From when I was in high school and I saw Channel One News, and I thought, why don't I just, you know, they have a contest every year. 20 students from across the country get to go to Los Angeles and take over the show for a week, Student Produce Week. Why don't I just, you know, senior year is the last chance. Why don't I just audition? And I got it. And then Channel One, I worked with them, and then they were like, you know, when you graduate high school, we'd love to offer you a full-time job, move you out to L.A. So I would not be in Los Angeles if I just hadn't tried, you know, given it a shot.
That's a great story.
Yeah, exactly. Or even like The Lion King, I can trace that back to a friend saying, yeah, there are these people who are who are doing this silly little musical, like the Gladiator the musical. It sounds so cheesy. It actually is really, it was really solid. But they're holding auditions, and why don't you go down? And I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever, I'll go. I make it. One of the girls, she was in a show at Disneyland. She connected me, told me when the auditions were, got that. One of the guys I was in that show with was in a, had an agent that was getting on TV, so I auditioned for her. She took me. That led to my Lion King audition, so I was in tour for 6 years. It's all connected. It's all just... If you say yes in the moments, even when you might not feel like it, or when you think that there's no chance in, you know, in H-E double hockey sticks. I don't know what language I can use on the radio.
You're okay with H-E double hockey sticks.
Fair enough.
We have a rating on iTunes, so that's why we...
Yeah, gotcha. And my mom is, once she figures out the technology, my mom will be listening to this. But if you listen to the naysayers... How dare you have the audacity to dream? How dare you think that you could be on the television? How, and, you know, who do you think you are that you think one day you could sing at the Academy Awards? Mm. You know, from my humble beginnings in Alabama all the way to that stage, like, don't look at Jack Nicholson, who's 10 feet away from you. No, was that Nicole Kidman? Yes, that was Nicole Kidman that just walked by. No, focus on your craft. Focus on your rehearsal. How dare you have the audacity to dream? Well, why not?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm living a why not life.
Yeah.
That's great. It.
Yeah.
That's great.
Of all of those amazing things that you've done, and including the Academy Awards, what was the most challenging for you? I mean,
you know, I will say The Lion King was definitely the most challenging.
Not State of the Arts?
How did you not get injured?
Oh, I actually did get injured. I got injured a couple times. Yeah. And I was in the singing ensemble. I wasn't even the dancers. Those dancers, man, I bow down. There was one dancer who's, I don't believe he was made of any natural parts by the time I got around there. I mean, but he was still up there giving it his 100%. But that show takes you down. I tore my lateral calf muscle one time. It was really, how do you tear your lateral calf muscle?
Very carefully.
You know, yes, exactly. Very
you don't
specifically.
Mess with that. Well, it's funny because you don't realize how much you use your calf either.
Yeah,
like,
until you've torn your lateral calf muscle.
Right,
exactly. Like when I reach for the cereal box, I'm using my calf muscle?
Right.
Apparently you are.
Unbelievable.
But I really learned a lot about what the human body is capable of, and more specifically what I'm capable of. There would be times when I couldn't even hold myself upright. You were speaking about Ben Vereen, mm-hmm. how he just was standing in the wings. I felt that, where I was like, I can't even stand upright. And I know that in 30 seconds, I'm going to be sprinting around the stage with my knees high, smiling, jumping, doing this Pumbaa pole puppet. There's absolutely no 5, 4, 3, 2. And then suddenly you realize you're doing it.
You're on.
And then you're off the stage and you're like, I'm going to die. I'm going to expire right now. But I didn't know I had it in me. So and another thing is when they say 8 shows a week,
let me tell you something.
They
about
mean, you, you, wait, you actually mean 8 shows a week?
Wow.
Not 6.5.
I just want to say that's not in the interest of the actor. I'm just saying.
Right, that's true.
It's really not. It's a fiscal thing.
It absolutely is. Mm. And especially with the show like The Lion King, we are not knitting sweaters on that stage. It is full out. And I was in the singing ensemble, and I was, you know, it was one of the most physically demanding things I've ever done in my life. And to sustain that 8 shows a week for 6 years, I look back and I'm like, that you live in you don't live in reality. It's another reason why a lot of people are crabby all the time, because everyone's exhausted. They don't, you don't realize how exhausted you are until you get off the road. I remember I had a friend who was like, and you just gotta, after you finish the tour, you just gotta like rent a cabin in the woods and sleep for like a month, because then your body will finally realize, you know, come back to earth, you know. I was also surrounded by some of the most dedicated, talented, driven human beings on the face of the earth.
Did you always know that you wanted to be in this business?
You know, it wasn't
ever musical when you were very young.
Yeah, absolutely. It was never really a question, because I was, according to my mother, I was singing before I could speak. So it was just what I did. I was known as the singer, the performer, even before I knew it was a thing. And I remember my mother, I always when I realized, you know, Los Angeles is a place, and that seems like a lot of people who are of my bent end up there.
A bunch of crazy people.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Why I think at home here too.
My
right.
village. My village.
Yes. I started when I was like probably 8 or 9. Started saying I'm gonna move to Los Angeles, Mom. She said, that's too far away from your mother. It's not gonna happen. Then when I won the contest, Student Produce Week, my mom. They threw me this big surprise thing with a cake, and you know, you're going to LA. And she pulled me aside and she said, "You know, you always said you were going to end up in LA, and you made it happen, you know." And
So why not?
And right. to that, why not play a track?
Nice, Mike.
Well,
nice.
That was
nice. I mean, there's a reason why you're in this
Hello.
Business, sir. You're sitting over there in that chair.
The king of transitions. Ladies and gentlemen, this track is called Feels Like Home. Is there anything you'd like to say about it before we play?
I believe it's from the Black and White Sessions.
It is?
Yeah, and so the Black and White Sessions, it's a great concept. Basically, it's old school. They take it back to just a singer, a microphone, a piano player, one take. So it's all about performance, no sweetening, no auto-tuning, no going back and fixing the little moments. It's just old school. And
that's great.
I'm very proud of it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat. This is Tanakis McLean, Feels Like Home.
There's something in your eyes makes me wanna lose myself. Makes me wanna lose myself in your arms. There's something in your voice makes my heart beat fast. Hope this feeling lasts the rest of my life. If you knew how lonely my life has been, and how low I felt for so long. If you knew how I wanted someone to come along and change my world the way you've done, feels like home to me, feels like home. To me, feels like I'm all the way back where I come from. Feels like home to me, feels like home to me, feels like I'm all the way back where I belong. A window breaks down a long dark street, and a siren wails in the night. But I am all I have you here with me, and I can almost see through the dark there's light.
Wow.
Really, you are a good actor.
Thank you. It was... you know, I really wanted to find a way to stand out on this this project. I guess every season, I believe this is season 4, every season they lump together and they release a CD. And when you look at the list of names on this project, I'm like, wow, how am I going to stand out around these guys? And my secret was to not try. Just find a song, that really I connected to, that spoke to me, and just let it do its thing, get out of its way.
And that's just what you did. That's why beautiful. It was so beautiful, so impeccably mm-hmm. sung.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And
thank you.
Very emotional.
Thank you.
His name is Tanakis McLean, and he's coming to Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on what dates, Michael?
On the 20th of January, coming up very soon.
That's right.
And again, brownpapertickets.com. And just put in Tanakis, and you will find his sales page, and or you can call 800-838-3006, 24/7. Lovely customer service reps will help you buy a ticket.
His Instagram handle is Mr. Hijinks. Mr. is spelled out. I believe that's correct. So check him out, or you can just Google his name, Tanakis, T-O-N-O-C-C-U-S, McLean.
Google?
You can Google or you can Google. Or you can probably Trugle. I don't know.
And I just have to add, hijinks is spelled in a hijinksy, a different way.
Just to make it hard. You have so, yeah. That's right. That's what you want to do for Instagram.
I know, right. H-Y-J-I-N-X.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Anita Whitaker, we are looking for an embarrassing moment that you got through.
I can't
and
wait.
Yet you survived and went on. Do you happen to have one?
Oh, it's so many. You know, to separate the girls from the women.
Sure.
So I'm singing at a very intimate, I don't remember what it was. I think it was an anniversary program for my dear friend David Foster. Years ago, when he was married to Miss Linda. Hi, Linda Thompson. And they wanted this song that was sung at their wedding called The Color of My Love. And I had practiced it. It's a Celine song. And it's a great lyric. I paint my mood in shades of blues, paint my soul to be with you. I had it down. Mm-hmm. I had it down. We're driving out to Malibu. And I was. And he said, you got it. I got it.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. It is at the peak, the apex of the event. And I get up, and every word
gone.
was a blank slate.
Oh, dear.
And I thought,
oh, no.
Okay, I just have to make something rhyme.
Oh, no.
So I was making up stuff.
That never on goes well. You know, we had David Foster on last week. He said the same embarrassing moment. There was this girl at my anniversary party.
Oh, no.
You got
so it. That's embarrassing.
You got through it, though,
well,
right?
Well, when I got to the chorus, I was all right, but the verses, it was a hot-blooded mess.
Hey, I'll be honest, you could scat and you could do anything and sound beautiful. I'm sure it went okay.
I just odd.
Did people know? Did everybody come up and say, happened?
Well, my face was so tight. That I was like, you know, the deer in headlights. I was like, what's the word?
They probably gave you wide berth.
Wow, she's harmonizing with herself. It's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
That's a performer's worst nightmare. And yet you got through it, and good things came after you.
Yeah, and you just have to keep going because I was able to redeem myself on the next song.
That's great.
I killed it.
That's right. Yeah. I love it. Tanakis, what you got for us?
Yeah. Okay, my story comes from a little lower caliber place.
lower people.
Fair enough. There are no small parts of small people. Love it. So there have been peaks of my career, and there have been valleys, and sometimes I need a job. This happened, I want to say, in my early 20s. So I'm going, and I'm collecting applications for jobs, and I happen to go into a Starbucks. I'm like, why not? I need a job. Let's see if they have applications in there. It's a rainy day. This is a very important part of this story. Raining cats and dogs. So I walk into the Starbucks, and there are only two people inside. There's the barista, and there's Renee Zellweger.
Wow.
And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what happened on the inside of my person. Wow, that's Renee Zellweger. They're chatting it up. They're obviously chummy with each other. Then Renee Zellweger turns to me, and she speaks to me.
Wow.
She goes, is that my umbrella over there? And I turn. And there is indeed an umbrella on the table right beside me. And I turn back to her and I say, you're Renee Zellweger. And she laughs in my face, walks over, grabs her umbrella, and leaves the Starbucks still laughing at me. And I'm sitting there like, I really can't. I graduate. I'm smart. I can. Yeah.
The funny part of that story is it wasn't her umbrella. She stole it and used you as a cover, right?
Yes. Now that explains it.
Did you ever see her again?
No. And if she ever sees me again, well, I hope she forgot it so I could start fresh, because that was, yeah, that was.
I love it.
A one-time sighting.
That's
fantastic.
Cool. Is she? Really, I interviewed her at a benefit for Broadway World TV, and wow.
Yeah.
She's like amazing.
Yeah.
She's a powerhouse, that's for sure. Yeah. Michael, my Thursdays didn't feel like Thursdays without getting to chat with you for an hour. It's good to see you in the new year.
Oh, it's nice to see you, too.
Happy New Year, and a big hand for all of our performers who have made State of the Arts so great, especially Nita Whitaker and Tanakis McLean.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. So much fun. Exactly.
You got to come back and see us again sometime
soon.
I'd love
to. Absolutely.
We'll be back next week.
Deal. Oh. That's a deal. We're going to make this a weekly thing. Ladies and gentlemen, get on Brown Paper Tickets now. Google their name, and you're going to find their performance dates coming up for Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
Tanakis on January 20th. Nita Whitaker, January 27th. Mm-hmm. And we have great food.
It's great. You get there early. You eat your meal, and then the performers come on, and it's a perfect evening. Easy parking. Lots of fun at the Federal Bar and Grill. Sterling's Upstairs is one of the best clubs there, and one of the things that makes it so special is you can take people and sit and talk and not look at your phone.
I know.
Won't that be nice?
That'll be nice.
We encourage you all to do a lot more not looking at your phone this year in 2019. Make it a special one. We can't wait to see you next week here on State of the Arts. Michael, where will you be next week?
I will be here right here with you, sir.
On the radio.
On the radio.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.